And Peter, you write space opera, which are vast doorsteps of books set in many, many thousands of years ahead of ours. How would you be able to describe what's gone on so far in the Void trilogy? We're seeing the publication of the second in the trilogy early October. Is it possible to describe in a paragraph what's happened so far?
Very difficult, I have to admit. The world is recognisable in that there are... I've taken a lot of pains to draw a lot of parallels with our own world. There's power struggles, there's religions and ideologies, and there's personality clashes, just the same as it is today. Except, as we say, it's set 1,000 years in the future, so it's spread over many worlds. We've got very advanced technologies, which we still manage to screw up. And as well as screwing up, we still manage to use them to a great deal of benefit. But the human fundamentals remain the same. And that's a mark of all my books, I think, is that although we have enormous potential, there are many ways we can abuse it and use it.
Tell me about the big sort of religious component in the world that you've created in the Commonwealth, and that's obviously creating a lot of problems. There's a void at the centre of this universe, and people want to pilgrimage to the centre of it, and meanwhile the void appears to be devouring the universe more quickly because of this. This pilgrimage or this desire, is that the central tension here?
It creates a central tension. Yes, you're right. There's a place called the Void at the centre of the galaxy, which seems to shelter humans that are living a perfect life, and the style of life they lead becomes more apparent in this volume that was just released, The Temporal Void. But it's the conflict that this sets up. It is a religion in one sense. You could also call it an ideology or just an aspiration for some. But everyone that follows it, everyone that wants to go and live in the void, believes they have an absolute right to do so. Unfortunately, as you said, the void is expanding, and this pilgrimage into it will increase the rate of expansion and threaten the galaxy. So who has the right? Do they have the right to go and live their perfect lives, or do we have the right to go and stop them? It's the kind of question, as I said before, that reflects on society today, except this is pumped up to the nth degree. This is where the fun of science fiction comes in.
There's lots of fun in your novels, and lots of recognisable science fiction-y things like hyperdrive, except you've got ultra drive as well. What's the sort of most fun thing that you've enjoyed creating in terms of the little gadgets or innovations or the things that show how life's changed?
Possibly the starships that you, as you said, we've got hyperdrive and they've got ultra drive. It's a bit like an arms race out there. Everyone's desperate to you know, shave a few percentage points off the speed. Possibly the thing I like, one of the best innovations I had was in the earlier books in the Commonwealth Saga, was all the planets are linked together by wormhole, but the way you go through them is by train. So you can literally go down to London Station and take a train to another planet. I just love that idea, that there's no, you know, big starship with a captain sitting on the bridge. You just buy a ticket and go, and you're there in 10 minutes, just like going to Brighton.
Was that influenced by your own experiences living? You live and write from Rutland, the smallest county in Britain.
Not quite, actually. It was the whole concept came about from the Channel Tunnel, which is the nearest thing to teleportation I've ever seen. You get on at one end, the window goes black, and 20 minutes later you're in another country, which for us in the UK is very unusual. I mean, we either have to take a sea voyage or a plane. This just whisked from one place to another is very unusual for us. And I thought, well, you know, what will happen if this is scaled up? If you invest a great deal of money to build a wormhole, what's the most economic way of using it? And that's pushing stuff through as fast as you can to get a return on it. And the best way of doing that is by train. It all sort of came together on that trip. And I use the Channel Tunnel quite a bit, and I still think that's a valid option for... If we ever do get wormholes, that'll probably be one of the best ways of doing it.
You're Britain's best-selling science fiction writer. What would you say to people who see the science fiction section in a bookshop and just kind of switch off and think, this isn't for me, look at these funny books about aliens, this is for teenage geeks? How would you persuade people to pick up one of your books?
One of my books, or SF in general, if you've not read SF in general, go to the guy who's in charge of the science fiction section and ask them for something is easily accessible. Some of my stuff, I will admit, is not possibly for the first-time reader. But there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, it's a very broad church. There's a lot of science fiction out there of a lot of different types. I mean, would you still call 1984 science fiction? War of the Worlds, is that science fiction or is that a classic now? There's all sorts of roots in. And as I say, there's so much of it. You like every branch of literature, you have to find the kind of stuff that appeals to you. And it will take an effort to search it out, but it'll be rewarding once you do.
And you have a lot of very sort of important women characters throughout your works, and I've noticed on your message boards and so on that plenty of your readers seem to be women too. Are your readers not the sort of typical, one might think of a typical science fiction reader, the sort of the IT crowd?
I'm sure the IT crowd do read it, and thank you very much for that. But no, I mean, it hopefully is written in such a way that it will have a much broader appeal than that. I think that's a self-defeating prophecy, if you like, to write just for the IT crowd. The world is made up of many people, and I try to reflect the world in the science fiction that I write. You can't go around ignoring half the population. I hope it is accessible to more than just the IT crowd.
You've created a bit of a stir at times in the past among science fiction loyalists with by daring to include kind of sex scenes in your books. Why has that been so controversial in the past?
In the past, science fiction, the golden age science fiction stuff, just the subject didn't exist, which was fair enough given the age it was written in. I think
which was the 1930s?
The 30s and 40s is what is referred to as the golden age of science fiction, mainly by people in the 60s. But I don't think, sex is a part of life. Why shouldn't it be part of books?
Peter, thanks very much.
Thank you.